right, so today I'd like to discuss a research project we're doing with Prunus caroliniana. And as you can see from the graph on the lower right there, it's native throughout the coastal plain region of most of the southeastern United States. So generally cold hardiness, zone 9 on up through generally considered about 6B with reliability. It's an excellent drought-tolerant native plant. The problem is it tends to reseed heavily in garden situations, particularly when it's done in the shade. There is a need for dwarf and sterile forms because of that. The plant is excellent for early pollinators. You'll see all kinds of bees and hymenopterous insects moving around these things when they are in flower in the spring. What really got me interested in the crop and working on it was the fact that we've been through several cycles of drought in the southeast in my career, and we've gotten to the point where Leyland cypresses are starting to drop like flies in the landscape. And so back in the mid-2000s, I started looking around for native evergreen shrubs that could be used as a replacement for Leyland cypress and other plants in the landscape, and decided that cherry laurel would be an excellent plant since it does grow on high, dry sites in its native habitat, very drought tolerant. The main problem with it, again, other than reseeding in shady areas, is that it produces these big black purple fruit. Then when the migratory birds come through, they get in the favorite shade tree that you park under. Your car is white when you come to work in the morning. You come out in the afternoon, your car is purple from all the excrement from the birds out there. So that's one of the things the public has told me, and retail nursermen have mentioned. One of the reasons it's not like is because of the birds spreading the seed around, and then also the problems with the birds depositing the fruit around your patio, your car, whatever the case might be. So we decided to approach this with mutation breeding, because it's very easily done with seed grown, as well as vegetative material. There's a variety of mutagens that are out there. You can modify just one or two traits. In this case, we were looking at sterility, so you can still kind of keep the look of the plant, but hopefully make it sterile. But one of the things, one of the things that you quite often see is a lot of these mutations are recessive, and therefore you must go to the M2 or F2 generation in order to pull out what you're looking for. Now, there are a number of characteristics out there that can be improved by mutation breeding. And you can see anything from flowering time, adaptability, hardiness, et cetera, et cetera. But the one we were very interested down on the bottom, pollen abortion and then sterility. So we decided to go with cobalt 60, which is a common source of radiation. The reason we like that, very few disposal problems. You treat the seed, it comes up out of the applicator, and there's no waste to deal with. The application is very easy. Reproducibility is very high. The penetration of the gamma rays is very good, and quite often your mutation rate is high as well. So very simple if you have access to a cobalt 60 source to do that and use that. So back in 2008, we radiated some seed just to kind of generate an LD50, see what would happen with this. And so we treated it 0, 50, 100, 150 GY. We used 50 seeds per treatment. We used two different perennial trees. We used a named cultivar as well as a wild tree that had a nice shape to it. So it turned out, as you can see here on the bottom, we've got the control on the left, and then as you go to the right there, 50 GY, 100, 150. So the LD50 was somewhere between 50 and 100 GY as far as survival on there. And so out of the number of seedlings that were actually treated with either 50, 100, or 150 GY, so three treatments, 50 seedlings each times two parents there, we actually got 61 M1 seedlings to survive, so a 21% survival rate over all of those. So we then took all these seedlings, grew these out to maturity, and then collected seed off of those. So we're in 2008, we started the project. We were able to then collect M2 seed in fall of 2012. So basically a full 4 or 5 years there. So out of those 63 seedlings that were there, most of those produced some seed, so we were able to generate about 1,700 M2 seedlings there to grow out. So basically what we did is we grew them out in 5-gallon containers. We let them flower. If they flowered and set seed, we threw them away. Right at that point. If they flowered and did not set any seed, then we kept them for further evaluation. So in 2014, we selected 37 seedlings out of the 1,700 for either fall color. We picked up some interesting, nice red fall color in these, or flowering and no seed set. We kept the plants for another year till we made sure everything flowered in 2015. Picked up another 89 seedlings in 2015 for no fruit. All the seedlings appear to have absolutely normal flowers. We've looked at them under the microscope, and there's nothing abnormal looking, so it's not anything physical going on here. But out of all that, we've picked up about 4.8% of the M1 seedlings were sterile. So quite often we don't see M1s that show sterility, but three of those 63 plants were sterile. We do have a nice compact intermediate-sized form that came out of that group. And then if we look at all the M2s, we're looking at 7.4% of those 1,700 seedlings have been sterile or showed reduced seed set. So with that, I'll wrap it up. So we're sort of at the stage now of making cultivar selections. As you can see on the right there, we have some very nice compact, shrub plants, small trees that can be used as hedges in the landscape. So there's, 120 so selections total that we're looking at that are setting no fruit so far from starting in 2008. And going through. Another neat thing we picked up there on the slide on the left there is we also picked up this really nice reddish-purple fall-winter phenotype out of this mutation breeding. We've got a few of those. They seem to be a little bit weaker. Can't do much else with them because they're sterile in terms of sexual breeding, but they are nice plants. So, very attractive, nice plants. So we still have the benefits for the pollinators. They flower normally. The bees seem to be perfectly happy with them. It's just they're not producing the seed to be a sort of an invasive or a sort of weedy native plant. So with that, I'll be glad to take any questions if we have time. Brian.
I got two. Have these plants, I can't really tell exactly where they are, but are there fertile wild types that are nearby that serve as
pollinators? Yes. So we did make sure that we planted fertile wild types nearby, and yes, and so yeah, the bees work them all and can move pollen around. Yes.
Other
yeah.
Questions. Have you rooted these yet? Have you noticed any variability in rootability among the treated and untreated?
So the question was on rootability. Prunus caroliniana is notorious for clonal variability and rootability. And so we have not gone through and rooted, obviously, all the progeny that are out there. But of the nurseries that have come through and made selections and we've propagated, yes, we have noted considerable variation in rootability amongst the clones that have been selected so far.
At least some of your good ones root?
Yeah, at least some of the good ones do root, yes. Yeah, I would say, on a cherry laurel, if you're getting between 50 and 75% rooting, you ought to be mighty happy. And some of the commercial selections that are out there were actually selected because they could be readily rooted, as opposed to maybe the nicest form around. Yeah, it's a good question. Other questions? Yes, Richard.
Do you know what the chromosome?
We have not done any cytology to look at these. Again, we weren't trying to double to, then use those to back cross. We've got other projects with other species where we're doing all that. I was just going after, let's knock out seed production and see what kind of, novel growth habits we can get with these. And so, again, we're just to the point of sort of making cultivar selections at this point. And it would be interesting to, check other things that you typically would check. So. Yes.
Do
So on cherry laurel, so the question was, are these graftable on other species? I can't say that I've ever seen a grafted Prunus caroliniana in my 30 plus years of nursery production. I've been limited, you know, pretty much to Southern California and then the Southeast in my career, but, you know, most of the ornamental shrub growers, if they can't root it from a cutting, they're not going to mess with it. Yeah. All right, great. Thank you.